Hey fam, it is Phoenix Kalita. Welcome to the Wine Cellar. Yay! We are back. We are doing well. I'm back. I'm doing news and comment. William is still doing the 12-hour shifts, so not sure how much he'll be able to record this week, if at all. So y'all still gotta tolerate me. Okay. So I have some news. I have some stuff. Let me just make sure that my desk, everything is okay. Oh, shoot. Oh, no. Oh, no. I'm losing things. Okay. Okay. Well, hang on a second here, y'all. Okay, sorry. I had a slight malfunction. It's a little bit difficult podcasting alone because you're like, oh, no, I have to fucking check everything and do everything and I can't access everything as quickly as I need to because there's only me and I'm also trying to load stories on my phone and it's just like, ugh, there's a lot happening. All right, so as per usual, we have all of the regular trigger warnings and so on and so forth. And this is, I was going to say a Becky Lives Matter story, but typically those are more funny based on what we cover. This is fucking serious and this is fucking horrible. So, there is a woman named Renee Bach who runs a local non-government organization called Serving His Children in Eastern Uganda, which is like the first clue, right? A white woman is in Africa doing missionary shit for white Jesus. First fucking clue, things are going to go really bad. So, this is in the town of Johannesburg. She has been accused of representing herself as a doctor and treating children in her care. She allegedly took children with malnutrition from local hospitals to treat them at her organization, and some of them have died. According to Gimbo Zubeda and Kakai Rose in the Jinja District, alongside a civil society organization and the Women's Pro Bono Initiative, they're suing Bach for the actions they allege caused to the death of their children while in her care. The two women say they were led to believe Renee Bach was a medical doctor and that her home was a medical facility, as she was often seen wearing a white coat, a stethoscope, and often administered medications to children in her care. They say they eventually learned Bach had no training in medicine at all after their children died. They also found that in 2015, the district health officer had closed her facility and ordered her not to treat any more children. Wow. So how did the American missionary without medical qualifications end up performing medical procedures and giving treatment to children even after her facility was ordered to shut down? There are procedural and regulatory mechanisms that ought to be allowed when establishing a medical facility in Uganda. Even so, the law provides for licensing agencies and protocols for who should practice medicine in Uganda. It is unacceptable, narcissistic behavior for anyone, black or white, rich or poor, missionary or angel, to pass off as a medical practitioner when they are not, said Zubeda. I know y'all can't see me right now, but I actually have the mouse in front of me and tried to just scroll down on the mouse, but I'm reading this story off my phone. I'm tired, y'all. I'm tired. All right, so now that I'm scrolling with my thumb and not the mouse because I'm reading this off a phone and not the computer, the complainants are asking the Jinja High Court in Uganda to shut down Bach's organization. They say the actions of Bach have led to the death of over 100 children, quote, violating their right to access adequate treatment, the right to the health of children, the right to life, and the right to be free from discrimination on the basis of racial and social economic standing, and the right to dignity, freedom from torture, and inhuman and degrading treatment. The Serving His Children responded with an article written by Sarah Beth Kaplan in 2018 accusing the Christian missionary of, quote, playing doctor with no training. This is their official quote from Lori Bach, the U.S. director for Serving His Children. So I noticed same last name. I wonder if this is like a family operation. And this is a quote from Lori the Liar. At no time has our founder, Renee Bach, presented herself as a medical professional, experimented on, or caused the death of any child. Having been trained by medical professionals to start IVs, Ms. Bach in the past has provided assistance in such procedures when they were requested and currently serves in administrative capacities and participates in fundraising for the organization. A group called No White Saviors, I love the name of that group, I'm going to follow them on social media. So No White Saviors has taken to social media to raise awareness of this case. The group posted pictures of two children with visible scars that they say were caused by Renee Bach's botched care. And oh, their Twitter handle is at No White Saviors. That makes that easy. So this is just some tweets that they put up. And here we go. This one, first one, at No White Saviors. Some of hashtag Renee Bach's victims are still alive. This is Patricia, left permanently disfigured after a botched blood transfusion performed by Renee. She didn't cross-match the blood because she's not a medical professional, leaving this child to have a horrible reaction and now lives with these scars. At No White Saviors also tweeted, this is Masai. He has been left with irreversible physical and mental disabilities because of hashtag Renee Bach's botched medical experimentation. Former staff and the family of Masai report Renee Bach was the one treating their child serving his children, I think. I don't know if the tweet got cut off, but they added the organization, but all they have on the at is at serving his. So I don't know, because it's actually serving his children, if the tweet itself was cut off because it's not like a full screen cap, or if that's actually their Twitter handle. I don't know. At No White Saviors also said Renee Bach is absolutely hiding in the U.S. She didn't even show up for court in Jinja in March, said NWS in a tweet, also calling for help finding a Virginia licensed attorney to consult so they can bring charges against Bach in the U.S. The response on social media has been cutting. At Amico Appledad said, this is extreme white privilege and she should be held accountable for her actions legally. Black babies are not your medical testing subjects and I don't care what God you're serving while doing so. Someone else said, profiting off the innocence and helplessness of children in rural Uganda, this screams like a white savior complex and is horrific. It hurts my heart that when I Google Renee Bach, nothing regarding consequences for her crimes against humanity pops up. And another person, at Joyce Treasure, said the white savior complex, Renee Bach, needs to be held accountable. This demonstrates how insidious the savior complex is, so much so that authorities allow this to continue and social media becomes the tool to highlight the killing of African babies. Now, as of March 2019, Renee Bach's whereabouts are unavailable and she has missed all her court dates. And that's wild. And I wonder, I guess no one's going to do shit because it's a white woman and Jesus was involved and it was just black kids in Africa. Like, fuck them, you know, right? Ugh. That's fucking tragic. All right. Moving on to more good news, by which I mean more awful news. There is a drought in the Navajo Nation, which apparently a lot of folks don't know about. So although drought conditions are technically improving across most of the U.S., more than 40% of Navajo households still don't have running water at home. The U.S. celebrated a bleak victory this month. For the first time in 20 years, none of the lower 48 states are experiencing extreme drought conditions, according to the U.S. Drought Monitor map for June. Many areas of the country have experienced record levels of rain and snow this year, and California is officially drought-free. I wonder if that'll impact the fire situation. But in Navajo Nation, which covers parts of Arizona, Utah, New Mexico, thousands of people are still struggling to get clean drinking water, and more than 40% of Navajo households don't have running water, forcing residents to travel as far as 50 miles to stock up at water pumps every week, according to NASA's Western Water Applications Office. According to the nonprofit Navajo Water Project, Navajo families are 67 times more likely than other Americans to go without running water or indoor plumbing, and they also pay more for clean water, and they have to pay, They also pay more for the clean water they pump than they would for piped water. The nation's members face some of the last lingering drought levels in the Southwest, where aquifers and lakes have shriveled into cracked, dry fields. The crisis has intensified with climate change, creating moderate drought conditions, leading to the Navajo Nation's Commission on Emergency Management to issue an emergency drought declaration last year. Rising temperatures and dwindling resources have made it almost impossible to continue traditional farming and practices that rely on rainfall, Public Radio International reports. Now, there could be some relief coming. Conditions have improved in the region since the nation hit extreme drought levels last fall. In the meantime, human rights nonprofits have been working to deliver water and install water tanks for Navajo families. And then they just have some pictures of installing water tanks and people trying to pump water. Let me see if there's anything beneath the pictures. No. Okay. So yeah, that's happening. And apparently a lot of folks don't know about that. So I'm just trying to like keep folks informed. You know what I mean? So that's, yeah, actually kind of fucking a huge thing. Now, because I gave you guys some really fucking depressing stories, let me brighten your day a little bit. Kyle Kashev, who, if you don't know who that is, that's one of the kids who survived the Parkland shooting, but then used it to become, like, a right-wing asshole and be like, I survived a school shooting and I still support gun rights because I'm not a fucking snowflake type shit. Yeah, and he's becoming a new conservative darling. He's, got the, he's a cis hetero white man, so it's not so much identity politics as much as it is that he survived a school shooting and now he gets to be like the official spokesperson of, you know, the far right to say not all, you know, teenagers are triggered snowflakes. Some people, you know, have lived through a heinous thing and still have a good view about gun rights. I'm like, okay, what the fuck? But he has been he was originally granted admission to Harvard University, a rather prestigious Ivy League school, if you're not familiar. And they've then rescinded their offer because this guy's a fucking racist. So this is coming off the Daily Beast. Harvard University has revoked the admission of conservative pundit and Parkland shooting survivor Kyle Kashev over racial slurs he made in messages that surfaced online last month. Kashev, who rose to fame on the right as a vocally pro-gun survivor of the 2018 shooting at Marjory Stoneman Douglas High School, was set to attend Harvard in 2020 after taking a gap year off from school. But today he announced in a lengthy Twitter thread criticizing Harvard that the university pulled his admission in a letter citing concerns about maturity and moral character, an apparent reference to racial slurs. Kyle said on Monday he doesn't know where he will go to college now, adding he turned down huge scholarships at other schools in favor of getting into the Ivy League Titan. Harvard University has declined to comment. His Twitter thread is also hilarious. If you want to laugh at him, you should do that, because it's kind of fucking funny. On Monday, he complained that the university judged him too harshly and accused the school of having a checkered past of its own. It's about whether we live in a society which forgiveness is possible or mistakes brand you as irredeemable, as Harvard has decided for me, he said in one of his tweets. The messages that cost him his Harvard admission came to light in May when a fellow Parkland student tweeted images of the racist messages he wrote while still a high school student in a Google Doc shared with classmates. So it was everybody get in on the racism, guys. Let's all be racist together. White privilege. Woo! He wrote the N-word repeatedly, adding, I'm really good at typing nigger, okay? In another message, he called black student athletes nigger jocks. The loss of his Harvard admission represents a new low for Kyle, whose pro-gun stance once earned him a White House meeting with President Trump, a string of Fox News appearances, and speaking roles at conservative conferences. Many of his former allies abandoned him after the former messages came to light. At the same time, far-right figures like anti-Muslim activist Laura Loomer, who view Kashev as part of the GOP establishment, led a campaign urging Harvard to revoke Kashev's administration. Really? That's really fucking surprising from Laura Loomer, because she's racist as hell herself. I honestly think his acceptance to Harvard should be revoked. There are kids who work their asses off and don't use the death of 17 people as a resume holder, and kids who don't call black people the N-word who deserve to go to Harvard. I'd much rather a poor black student get Kyle's position. She doesn't actually mean that. What she's actually mad about is what she said in the second sentence. There are kids who work their ass off and don't use the death of 17 people as a resume holder. She's mad that he shot up to fame. She doesn't actually give a shit about him being racist because that woman hates Muslim people, like, with a passion. So on Monday, right-wing provocateur Jacob Wohl celebrated the revoked admission, calling Kyle Kashev a political charlatan. Not every conservative pundit has abandoned him, though. Ben Shapiro, the conservative personality who played a major role in promoting Kashev's career as a pro-gun activist, tweeted that the decision was an insane, cruel standard. And this is a quote from Ben Shapiro's goofy little ass. Regardless of what you think of at Kyle Kashuf, and for the record, I think he, like many other Parkland survivors, handled the public limelight with grace and strength. Harvard's sets up an insane, cruel standard no one can possibly meet. So apparently, to Ben Shapiro, it's an insane, cruel standard to have to go your entire life without calling black people niggers. The bar is like, it's not even on the floor. It fell through the floor. It's in the basement. It's like seeping into the foundation as we speak. Because apparently, it is insane and cruel to demand that white people don't call black people niggers. Okay. So yeah, I thought that was amusing. And I thought maybe y'all would enjoy that little tidbit of information. So yeah, and then also, this is the last thing I'm gonna do, and I'm not gonna actually like read the whole article because this is kind of still like breaking news, and I just want to see what's gonna happen with it. But this is so more like an FYI, I guess. As fucking Alex Jones, so get ready for the zany. Apparently, he sent child pornography to the lawyers for the families of the Sandy Hook tragedy. I don't know what the fuck is happening here. And I think that's why I don't really, like, I don't want to cover the story because I don't know what the fuck the story even is because I'm not reading anything that makes sense. I know, cognitively know what all these words are and how sentences work, but this sentence is like, what the fuck? So, yeah, apparently the law firm representing the families of the 2012 mass shooting stated in court documents filed Monday that they have contacted the FBI after discovering child porn in electronic files Jones recently turned over to the Sandy Hook families as a result of their lawsuit against him for calling the tragedy a hoax. What? Jones has publicly responded by saying on a broadcast of his show, InfoWars, that he's being framed by Chris Mattei, I don't know, the lawyer for the Sandy Hook families, and then went on saying that Mattei and his law firm, Koskov, and Bider are making threats against him. "You're trying to set me up with child porn and I'll get your ass," Jones said. $1 million, you little gang members. $1 million to put your head on a pike. So he's fucking calling for a bounty on the... I don't know. I need William here for this. Because one, I don't have an Alex Jones impression. And two, I can't handle this level of like fucking bizarreness by myself. So yeah. And then of course... I accidentally clicked the Alex Jones link. And then, of course, Jones' lawyer, Norman Pattis, denied his client was threatening Mattei or the Sandy Hook families. One more time, the direct quote was, $1 million, you little gang members, $1 million to put your head on a pike. Uh-huh. But his lawyer says Jones was upset but did not threaten Mr. Mattei. He spoke in a compassionate fashion. Because threatening to put people's head on pikes is compassionate. It's a kinder, gentler capitalism and fascism and fucking neo-Confederate bullshit. Yeah. I don't know. So that's fucking going on. But anyways, I'm going to obviously follow up with the Alex Jones thing because it's right now just bizarro. But yeah. In the meantime, if you like what we do, you can support The Wine Cellar. You can hit us up on patreon.com/winecellarmediafund or paypal.me/phoenixandwilliam. And I think that's all I got. I'm gonna get out of here. Have a wonderful day. Try to stay as safe as you can. Do something nice for yourself. Do something nice for someone else. And check us out during the rest of the week. There will be more news, more comments, and since I'm following Alex Jones, obviously more fucking shenanigans. All right, y'all. I am fucking out of here.
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly, but then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
With the Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.